So when is this super committee going to be getting to work? And let's talk a little bit about the deadlines that they face.
Oh, right. Well, they, under the law that was enacted to raise the debt ceiling earlier this month, they'll have to meet by September 16th. And just talking to Patty Murray's people recently, she's one of the co-chairs, they said that they haven't set an exact date when the first meeting will be, but it has to be before that date in order to comply with the law.
Now, is all this time they have to kind of hang around and listen to their constituents before they get down to work, is that going to harden positions, or will that butter them up a little bit?
Well, it's hard to say, but I think the most important thing that's happened in the last 24 hours is, you know, it's come out that President Obama will be having a major deficit and jobs speech right after Labor Day, and he will be presenting a plan for the super committee to go beyond its $1.5 trillion in deficit cuts mandate. He's still seeking that grand bargain, which you might remember he was trying to forge with John Boehner, the House Speaker, at the beginning of July, which could involve, you know, in his view, tax increases and changes to entitlements like Social Security and Medicare. The Chamber of Commerce, the major U.S. business association, also called for such a grand bargain yesterday in a letter to the super committee members. So I think the important thing to keep in mind is whether this group will be able to go beyond the $1.5 trillion and really go for sort of a $4 trillion package, which is what, you know, the markets are really looking for as far as stabilizing the debt.
I wonder a little bit more about the timeline, because September 16th is a while off, and that makes their window that much more narrow. Is there anything going on behind the scenes? Are they, you know, emailing or talking to each other or trying to do a little negotiating already?
Yeah, they're definitely talking to each other, and I think some of the preliminaries are being talked about, like, you know, hiring staff. And sort of figuring out when that first meeting will be. But there's no sign yet that they're going to come back in August. I mean, they do have to produce a report by Thanksgiving, by November 23rd, and all the regular committees have until October 14th to weigh in. But it looks like at this point they're still figuring out their strategy. I think the important thing to keep in mind as far as where at least some of the cuts might come from was that Biden group of talks that happened before the debt ceiling crisis really heated up. There was some mandatory and health care savings on the table there. Also looking at the president's budget, the Bowles-Simpson Commission, and the Bipartisan Policy Center report from last November, those all outlined cuts that, you know, staffers say that this group will be looking at pretty quickly. Another thing to keep in mind is that so if they don't come up with a deal that gets approved by Congress by the end of the year, there's going to be automatic triggers. And these will hit both defense and non-defense pretty much across the board. It's a $600 billion cut to defense over 10 years. And this is something that, you know, Leon Panetta, the new Secretary of Defense, even yesterday was again warning is too deep. And this is something that could really hit our area, especially, you know, Northern Virginia and the home of many defense contractors. So I think it's in the interest of the defense industry, especially, that this super committee succeed and sort of divert some of the cuts away from the defense budget.
We're speaking with Eric Wasson, a staff writer for The Hill, and I think you get to the question that a lot of federal agencies have, and that is assuming that the committee can do its work and not go to those automatic or sequestration cuts. Does it look like they're going to cut across the board, or does it look like they're going to cut program by program, which is a whole different flavor?
Right. Well, there's different aspects to what's going on now. I mean, already in the beginning of August, you know, $900 billion in agency cuts were approved over 10 years. And this is a small slice coming from next year, $7 billion and $3 billion the year after, but then it ramping up significantly after that. One of the things the super committee is going to be looking at is you know, mandatory program savings from the Farm Bill or from entitlements like Medicare. And tax reform. So I think for a lot of federal workers, I would imagine that them succeeding in doing that would probably be more beneficial to those agencies because it would divert, you know, the cuts away from this focus on discretionary spending towards, you know, mandatory entitlement spending and also, you know, possibly, you know, tax revenue increases to fund some of this. That being said, you know, there were things on the table in the Biden talks, such as, you know, reforms or changes to federal pensions and so forth that, you know, could crop up again as they search for ways to make these cuts.
Of course, the super committee is made up of people who couldn't agree on these issues when they were part of the the regular Congress before they were sequestered and isolated on the super committee. So I'm wondering if there's anything they would agree upon as far as what may be sacred and absolutely not on the table. Have you heard anything about that?
No. Well, the thing is, it's definitely a very, very diverse group of people. I mean, you have everyone from Jim Clyburn and Xavier Becerra, House Democrats, who are staunch, you know, defenders of entitlements, to Pat Toomey, who's a Tea Party-backed Republican senator who really wants to look at some very deep cuts across everything. The thing about the super committee, unlike, you know, the Bold-Simpson Commission or other groups that have had supermajority requirements in the past, they only need to get, you know, one member of the other party to go the other side. Six Democrats, six Republicans, and a majority of seven members can get the thing passed. So people are really looking at John Kerry, Rob Portman, Dave Camp as people who have cut deals in the past and may be able to forge something. But certainly, if you look overall, there's going to be dissenters from the left and the right. And overall, I don't think anyone has, you know, something they completely agree on that all 12 can sign on to.